Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. One, two, made Sheffield. By you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
1212, how's it going? This is Shlomo. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
Yeah, it's that time again, Friday the 29th of May. You know, the last Friday of this month. Welcome, Sweet Talking Sport. I've got CV in at the studio right with me here. No!
All right, good afternoon, good afternoon. Gosh, and another hot day. Why?
Yeah, it's nice and warm, you know. Too hot for some. Hot enough for others.
It's too hot for me.
Yeah.
Too hot for me. You know, when it start get too hot, that means to me start bubble up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Bubble up like, you know, like Shandy. Yeah, start bubble up, man.
Yeah, Sweet Talking Sport. Yeah, the number one radio sports show. Our own. It's straight to the point chat show that deals with the latest sports news and stories with both interviews and joining an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to discussion on sporting events, whether local, whether national. Good to go on air, expansive debate and analyst by CV and myself, right? Yes, on the 29th. Yeah, part of the regular programming, probably Yorkshire's best talking sports radio show you'll ever hear. You can listen live and direct 6 till 7 most Fridays. If you miss it, yeah, you can blink, you can wink, you can do whatever you want because you can catch it up on archives. Yeah, right, yeah, so. So without further ado, I hope nobody is listening out there, but if you are, please keep this show to yourself and promise me that, you know? So without further ado, let's crack on, let's jump straight in. And, I don't know what your people out there will make of this story, but what is this? Yeah, Wales fastest woman has been blocked from the Commonwealth Games, you know? And I don't know whether somebody's taking a bit of a backhander in this, you know what I mean? But the 28-year-old Briar, the Welsh woman, is known as the Rose, you know? And she's the fastest woman ever to come out of Wales. However, like I said, she's blocked by default. Failing to meet her obligation by missing, and it's crazy, you know, I know, selection date. Not her fault entirely, but, you know, somebody is kind of like, must be, you know, taking a backhander for this, you know. Got ruled out, won't be able to compete at the 2026 Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. You know, Briar broke a record of, you know, which has been held for 44 years, you know, some record was that, and that was what, 22.79 seconds in the 200 metres in London.
So, let me just get this right. What, is she a sprinter?
Yeah, she, well, she kind of like, her discipline is the 200 metres.
Right, okay.
You know, so, yeah, you can kick in that one, you know what I mean?
Right,
in the 200 metres.
So, she is a 200 metre runner, yes? Right, and because she's missed the what date?
It's the Welsh kind of like people then.
Right.
They've kind of like missed the date by 8 days late of the team's deadline selection for Wales.
Right, so it's not...
Which was the 17th of May.
So it's not her then, it's the Welsh team people then who missed the date.
Yes, that's
so because
that's
they've
right.
missed the date, she no longer yeah. can run in the Commonwealth mm-hmm. Games.
And they flagged this up as well before time, but it didn't seem to do anything about it. So beggars belief whether somebody's taking a backhander or something like that. You know, we talk about the corruption in the game and stuff. The Welsh people knew about, you know, the deadline, but they kind of still kind of like chose to ignore that.
You see, I don't get that, you see. A big organisation like that, it's not like they've never dealt with that kind of thing before.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand how they can just all of a sudden, oh, they forgot to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, nah, I don't, I'm afraid I don't get that.
And like I said, I mean, fastest female to come out to a Wales, you know, the date is 3 weeks before that of the team Scotland and 4 weeks before team England. You know, their hopefuls qualified. So Briar 28 said, you know, devastated to miss what is likely to be her last game because the Commonwealth Games only come round every 4 years, you know. So she's 28 now, doing a math, you know. So whether, I mean, I think she probably still may push for that, but 4 years, anything can happen in 4 years.
Anything
you know
can
what I mean?
Happen. Anything
you know?
Can happen. This could have been a time 100%. To impress anyway. Mm-hmm. No, no one's saying she'd win, but mm-hmm. it would be a time to impress.
Yeah, you know. I mean, like before the deadline, Team Wales policy is that athletes beat, not just match, that make for selection. The Swansea Harry also holds the Welsh 100 metres record, so you're quite right, you know, sprinter, and then underline her status as the fastest Welsh woman of all times by breaking the national 200 metres record set by Michelle Scutt in 1982, you know. It's very difficult for us Welsh athletes because all of us have to come out with the absolute A game in April and May, which is crazy, when the championship's in August, she told BBC Sports in Wales. And, you know, like I said, it's crazy. I mean, you know, regarding the Commonwealth Games, like I said, it's every 4 years. You know, you can what people make of that. You know, participation of countries that are part of the Commonwealth, meaning consisting of the UK with status that were part of the British Empire, and you know, some countries kind of depended on it, but not all countries were part of that British Empire. And the name, it's changed, quite rightly so. I think it should be changed again. I mean, there was countries like, say, Mozambique. They were formerly kind of like Portuguese. They kind of use that kind of language, the Portuguese, Rwanda, Belgium and Germany territory. So some formerly were colonized in some territorial, you know. However, most were colonies, basically territorial, claimed by the UK. And it means different things for different people, you know. Because when it first started, it was known as the British Empire Games until, say, 1950. So they tweaked it once. The British Empire Commonwealth Games until 1966. Tweaked it again. Another tweak. The British Commonwealth Games until 74. And next tweak in there, the Commonwealth Games since 1978. You know? It just reminds me of like sports day, you know, at school. You know, when I reflect on that, about the harmony and stuff like that, you know what I mean? When you kind of think about it.
Are you trying to say, like, everybody was one? Everybody was...
I'm not saying everybody was one, but it was like, you know, just to kind of like... It's like they've took a leaf out of that, out of the historical Commonwealth, British Empire Games, take it into the education arena and thinking, okay, yeah, we'll have some of that. We'll have a sports day or something like that to bring unity and you know, things like that. I'd be interesting to find out where sports days actually started in schools over here, you know.
Weren't it for a physical thing, to get the children being physical?
Well, you can look at that also as well, but it has to, the idea obviously has to start from somewhere, and I'm saying that maybe it was grown from the Commonwealth Games and watered down into education.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
I can't answer that.
Because then they can dress it up to say, yeah, we need to get these kids them physical fit and everything, but not all one model fits everybody. Yes. You know what I mean? And there's pros and cons when you look at things like that, because, you know, the perception of the Commonwealth Games, it can be like a complex thing as well, because the pros, it's looked as goodwill on a sporting event, on a cultural level. You know, some people will celebrate unity and diversity, you know, and big it up. And want to win, want to train for it. I mean, like we've just said, you know, that woman who's 28, fastest woman in Wales, can't go because some default, and missed the date and all that, something there, yeah? And then if you look at it from another point of view, and remember, I mean, like I said, I've just gone through how many times they've changed the name of the games, you know, little tweaks here and there, you know? And like I said, it just reminded me when I was back at school and we had our sports day and that, you know, when you're a youth in the school yard and then you get a bit older in that Encliffe and all that something there, you know what I mean, on the nice days. And then the cons, it can be uncomfortable for some people to kind of discuss this, because we're talking about the so-called empire, you know, and how historical them kind of like ties were back then, you know. Hence the matter changes, you know, to bring people together. Like I said, they're kind of big words, them. Unite, unity, you know. Let's celebrate it.
Yeah, I hear that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm not saying that I'm right, but this is just a little side shuffle on it.
I was like looking it up where it says where sports day begins.
Uh-huh.
Right. And it began in the 19th century.
Whoa.
Right. And
19th century?
19th century, yeah. It written in Britain. Right. And it was really, it got developed from the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
From the public school. Like there's a school called Rugby Public School, and Eton. Everybody said, right?
Yeah, no Eton.
And what they decided is to do like formal races,
mm-hmm.
athletic races, and which included running, jumping, throwing events, anything like that, team events,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's then developed into what we now know as Sports Day,
mm-hmm.
really. So, it was an idea to build up teamwork,
mm-hmm.
right? And what they call it, physical education. So,
you know,
and then at the ending, there'd be a prize.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a trophy. You know, or in when the days when I used to be at sports day, you used to get what you call a bronze badge, silver badge, and gold badge.
Hmm.
And they took that from the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So obviously if you come second, you get a silver, isn't it?
See it there.
That's how it worked.
I mean, it's surprising how far it goes back. But we know on the internet, they're good at dressing up things as well. And depending on what you put in the search, you can get a totally different concept of a kind of discussion and stuff as well. So, but, you know, the names, for me, you know, how many times it's changed. You know, I mean, the world's changing, society changes, you know. I mean, when I reeled out some of them words like, you know, British Empire game and all that kind of something there, you know what I mean?
We know, with all due respect, where the empire come from, innit? We know where the word empire comes from,
mm-hmm.
right? So, really, all I can say is, basically, it's involving all what we call the British-owned countries.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
100%. And there's no better man to have on this show when you're talking about them kind of thing there, you know? So, make sure, say, you're locking and you steer tune.
Mm.
Yeah? Mm. I'm about to touch that dial here.
Mm.
Oh.
It's always good to take in other things as well,
mm-hmm.
right? We know it's a sports show, right? And we know we have sports topics, but mm-hmm. behind the sports topics is always history.
Every time.
So.
And you only get it on Sweet Talking Sport, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You hear that? Oh. So from one heartbreak, you know. Now this one here, I'm gonna go into Luke the Nuke Lickler, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, the new boy in the block.
Yeah, well,
he's not so much new now.
He's a youngster. I mean, you could say them have older than young shoulders. I mean, the guy's still 19.
Oh,
still
19 now.
You know. And is hot panted dark something there, you know what I mean? But the pressure lick him there.
Okay, I don't watch that, so
the pressure did lick him.
Please enlighten me.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, in same nearly quit the event. You know, there's 16 weeks of dark when they go head to head. Okay, Lickler finally regained the Premier League title, beating Luke Humphries. I think it was at 11-10. They beat him. I mean, the current titles, what Lickler has got, World Darts Champ, twice over, 25 and 26. That's 2025 and 2026. Yeah. Premier League, 2024. World Masters, 2026. No easy, you know, Luke Lickler. World Series of Darts Final 2024. UK Open 25 plus 26 tour. World Match Play 2025. There's more. World Grand Prix 2025. And finally, Grand Slam of Darts 2024-25. So he's no slouch. This guy definitely knows his way
around the dartboard.
100%. Talk.
And you know, it remind me of one football team, you know, what win everything. Yeah, it remind me of one football team, because what you reeled out there,
mm-hmm.
to say he's really just coming to the game, he's won quite a bit.
He's been around for a while, to be honest with you. He's been so young, and he's kind of a busy youth, you know. And he said how he got his nickname. He was just chatting with him and his pops, and his pops said the Nook. Yeah, let's call him the Nook.
Coming like nuclear bomb.
You know? And that's, you know, depending on the context, yeah. How you're looking at it, you know. You know, the noun, you know, identifies, like you say, quite right, nuclear weapon, nuclear bomb, you know, or if you look upon it like a verb, you know, attack and destroy and delete your opponent. Just delete them, you know. From any tournament, you know, yeah, you have to delete, like you say, like Man City, delete them, you know, yeah. And yeah, after big him up, you know.
What, that I don't want to cut you like, but that Little, he's been getting some stick, you know. Been getting some proper stick from, say, say people more on the Lancashire Road side. By that I mean down the Lancashire Road, down to from Merseyside. He's been getting a lot of a stick from those kind of people.
Yeah, he's and that's part of the reason why him nearly quit, you know. But I mean, what I'd say to Luke Lickler, the Nook, just rotate, you know, like, you know, you're there in a night shift, clock in and clock out, and just the same again, just roll it over. Same again, you know. But he was having some, like CV said quite right, he was having some kind of like some disagreements on the circuit.
It was,
you know?
It was.
Especially with that Van Veen. You know, the pair exchanged a frosted handshake before one match. And the Dutchman said Lickler was out of order, you know, at what perceived to be a celebration miss. So Van Veen obviously missed something, and Lickler's celebrating like, say, is the champ. I mean, he is now. So Van Veen thought, disrespectful youth, you know, don't be disrespectful, you know. And then Lickler, he come back, he counteracted Van Veen and did a gesture, you know, like when they put the hand over them eye and roll it like crybaby. Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
Nicholas say, yo, he's a crybaby.
Right.
And don't forget, Nicholas only 19.
He is.
So him now come out with them big kind of talkings, you know what I mean? He just kind of said, yeah, he's just a crybaby, him. You know what I mean? But yeah, sticking with Lickley now, he said to his missus, he said he's just bad. He don't think that he can carry on. You know what I mean? But managed to work through it and come up top trumps. You know what I mean? So I think give him kind of credit for that, because like he said, CV, man was taking the most amount of stick, you know. You know, Rao was on stage.
It was, and it was mostly with the crowd, well, mostly with people from Merseyside and the Germans.
Yeah, woolly perturbulence from the crowd, you know. And my Eklim and all that kind of something there. You don't really watch a lot of darts, is it? I mean, they get kind of rowdy and, you know, I mean, these guys, it's darts at the highest level. Humphreys, Van Veen, you know what I mean? Little is in there as well.
Now, Van Veen, where is he from? Holland?
Holland, yeah.
I think I might have seen him.
One barred man, you know what I mean?
Yeah, deadly
with it. You know what I mean? But I don't mind watching the top pros, you know what I mean? It's kind of like them arrows, what them are fling. Why, if they was in bush, they're getting meat every time. You know what I mean? They might deal with them old tree top and all that something there. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right. Every single time.
Right.
They're dealing
so
with
they
it.
So they would be like a Maasai, you know, Maasai warrior then, innit?
Yeah.
With feed them boar. Yeah, yeah, you know them arrow.
Yeah, that's all you hear, like. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
What up?
And then you just hear one little squeal. In it, yeah, in it, yeah, in it. You know when the Maasai and him just throw theme spear, and him just gun in him, just and them something in it. Yeah. Them something there.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, them Maasai warrior there. You know them,
and
when them are running all the dust, you know, and the feed them foot bottom, you know. Yeah. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Go on, man.
No, man, can't recover from that. You know what I mean?
Boy. Lord.
Yeah. Just a reset now. You know?
But yeah, Lico getting some pure domination.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they were like,
gosh.
They were just like in him all the time. In fact, he was even doing little like turning round upon them and doing like little signings.
Yeah, give it him back.
Yeah, he was doing some little signings, you know? And I think it makes it worse.
Uh-huh.
He follows United. He's a Man United fan.
Is he?
He is a Manchester United fan. So that makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So then when he's playing like in it, like them Liverpool and he.
All oh, right. I get you.
You can see the rivalry, you know what I mean? So,
But yeah, I mean, if it had packed up, it would have been a shame because, you know, the people, them would have get to him, but he's only young still. And what he's won in the game is colossal. You know what I mean? At his age. Do you know what I mean? So he could even just, you know, what I would suggest to him, if he's feeling like that, he can take out time, innit, and just enjoy his life.
He can.
Enjoy it with your family or your girl or whatever.
And then come back.
Yeah. Or take a year out or whatever. Mm-hmm. He can still train hard in the background.
Yeah,
or just enter certain tournaments.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean? You know, that's what he needs to do. Or, you know, get himself a shrink or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, you know, let them talk to him. You know, because real and true, they don't want to see anybody down like that, you know. But you know, that's just his success. That's why he's so kind of large. You know,
it goes anywhere, 100%, anything.
100%.
If you're successful, there's always some people out there want to see you come down.
Mm-hmm. Whether that's a fan, whether that's
anything. Like I said, if you're successful, once you're too successful.
Mm-hmm.
You've always got somebody on the opposite side saying,
it's true. I hear that. Definitely.
Is this, is that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that myself.
Mm-hmm.
True, for my team.
Mm-hmm.
It's for my team there.
I hear that. I hear that.
When you do domination, right, you've got somebody else thinking to themselves, mm-hmm. nah, the this. And then if they can't find nothing, they will make up something. If they can't find nothing, they will make up something.
Yeah, like pretend them a supporter or something or a fan.
Like, you know? Again, I refer back to Fimi team.
Yeah.
You can't find nothing about us to say about us on the football pitch itself.
Mm.
So we have to go back to 115, 115, 115. That's what you've got to do because you can't do nothing.
I think that's a valid point, and I think it's a really good argument as well, even for a neutral myself, because, you know, you're thinking, well, it has been a while. You know what I mean? The 115. You know what I mean? So, yeah, they just need to just blurt it out now and just, you know, let them take their medicine. You know what I mean?
Whatever has to be.
I think just before the World Cup starts,
right?
I think they've got a plan.
Well, we'll see.
You know what I mean?
We'll see.
Let it out there. Oh, it's the World Cup. Done.
We'll see.
You know what I mean?
We'll see. Anyway. Continue, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, one of the queens of tennis, Serena Williams,
is,
to be fair, it's always been on the cards because I've been keeping an eye on on what the media's been saying and stuff. So we're talking next, tennis.
Next return.
Yeah, we're talking Queens, which is the warm-up for Wimbledon.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So
okay.
Maybe she'll get a wild card at Queens because I like to put bums on seats. The promoters like to sell it.
Okay.
So if anybody doesn't know, you know, basically, they're getting a bligh. You know, so you're qualifying without even playing.
That's right.
That's basically the wild card.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And at 44, people will say, and entitled to their opinion, 44 Serena. Nah, she's too old, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, there'll be them what'll jump on the bandwagon. Oh, she's only coming back for money and all that. So oh, she's only coming back for this, only coming back for that. She can come back when she wants. You know what I mean? I'm on that kind of like level to say, yeah, good on her. You know what I mean? If she want to come back, you know what I mean? That's fine by me. You know what I mean? Obviously, she's not going to be at her very, very best.
She's not going to be as top as tappers.
But I think for her, it'll be about representing herself the best she can.
Yes, I agree with that.
But people will think, oh, she's not as, you know, you'll hear the pundits and that and the people who want to put her down, oh, she's not as great as what she used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, check it out, mate. She's 44.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what will you be doing if you reach them age, 44? You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's at Queens. Do you know how much is it to get in there? You know, it can be quite pricey, you know. In Queens, the minimum, I think, is about 16 quids to the maximum of over 1,000.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Toes and bones. Forget
yeah.
in there.
Yeah, yeah. And that's probably the final, that it, you know, sat in, you know, the best seats and all that kind of stuff. To be honest with you, I'd like to go to Wimbledon, me. You know what I mean? One year.
Okay.
And I've been saying it for years. I'd like to touch down. Not just sit on Pan Edmund Hill, but actually sit down in one of the seating areas to watch a top game. You know what I mean? So I've got that in my book, you know. And hopefully I'll have kind of sorted that by next year. Cause every year me say they see him something, but it's got to happen one day. I tell you. You know what I mean? So Serena Williams looking to get back on the scene. And she's had, you know, a fair share of bad luck over the years. I mean, the last she had like a cyst sort of like in her neck, and it was quite serious. It's part of like when the tissue in the neck and the collarbone fail to develop properly. You know what I mean? I think they call it branchial or something, a cyst. Like I said, it's not properly formed. And I heard it was the size, they said it was the size of a grapefruit. And you're thinking, that's how on earth can get that big?
And you missed that.
Do you know what I mean? You know, so, you know, whether they was waiting till it gets a certain size, make it easier to operate, you know, I'm not no kind of like surgeon or anything like that, but, you know, I bet there was a bit of madness in the method. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, that must have been... She must have been in some right pain. You know what I mean? And like I said, you know, maybe Queens will announce her or Wimbledon. You know what I mean? And it's a good test, Queens. It is a good standard. Like I said, it's a warm-up before Wimbledon, which starts, well, I think 29th. Is it 29th of June? I think Wimbledon starts.
June.
Yeah. And Queens is a couple of weeks before.
Before that,
I
because think, that means it'll be yeah. the, it'll be starting right around about World Cup time then.
Yeah.
Because World Cup time, isn't it June the 22nd?
I think it's around there.
Yeah, I think yeah. it's June the 22nd when it kicks off.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be pure sports on TV, I'm afraid. So then people who are not into it, you better run for cover. You better find yourself another hobby. Quick time. You know what I mean? Because time I run out. You know what I mean? So, yeah, like I said, talking about the wild card, and it's an invitation from the tournament organisations, which allows a player
to in you know, to enter the main draw. Like I said, basically it's like getting a blight, you know, only certain peeps get them kind of things there.
Yeah, well,
you know?
Obviously, in her case, she gets it because of what she's done.
Yeah, definitely.
In the past, her and her sister.
Definitely. I don't think anybody would think, oh, you know, she's got a wild card, you know what I mean? You know, but she's, you know, yeah, nobody's gonna kind of begrudge that, really. So she's had, like, kind of multiple injuries over the years, knee, foot, back in 2010. Needed surgery on that. Torn hamstring, wow, that must have been painful. 2021. Blood clots, 2011. And then removed that cyst 2 years ago. So, yeah, bit of bad luck. And then, yeah, you can imagine that, you know, having an effect on the knees and the ankles. You're twisting, you're turning, you know what I mean? You're sprinting. Short, stopping. They're them kind of strains and going over on your ankle or whatever. But do you know what I mean? We just wish a
speedy recovery.
Yeah, and all the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Want to spend a bit of time in this World Cup because looking at this squad, there's been certain types of players what have been left out. And you know some very well. And I'd like to get your view, really, on the players. Not the players that are in, but the players that are left out. Could they have done a job? Was it right to leave them out? Obviously, this is what makes football football, because it's just, you know, it can be argumentative.
It's opinions.
You know what I mean? It can
opinions.
Be opinionated. If you're chatting to the wrong guy, then it's going to be argumentative. You know what I mean? Chatting to the right guy. Or right person, yeah, it's just going to be nice and easy, cool and easy. Opinions, do you know what I mean? Cole Palmer, should he have gone, in your opinion?
Cole Palmer, didn't see enough of him, to be honest with you. Mm. He'd been injured quite a bit, so I haven't seen enough of him.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have seen of him in his comebacks, they've not really enthrilled me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just my opinion. That's what you're asking for.
Yeah, yeah.
So 100%. I can't. I personally don't know. I don't think he'd done enough.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think he'd done enough. But other people might be out there, Chelsea fans, saying, well, yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. He's better than him, Henderson. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Again, opinions again.
Mm. I mean, I like Palmer, me. I think I'd call him a special player, in my opinion. I'd call him one of them special players.
Okay.
And because it's not a one-off game, it's a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You can expect England to get to the quarter-final stages. You know what I mean? Even though that they've got a tough group, but we'll come to that later on. And I think with somebody like that in your ranks, as long as they remain in the tournament, them players that aren't 100% fit, we're going to get fitter through, you know, through training, through gaining minutes. For me, I'd have gambled and I'd have took him on the bus, me.
Right.
He'd have been on the bus and the player.
Really? So what you're saying is you are gambling and the person getting fit while at the tournament?
Yeah, I don't think there's nothing wrong with that in the size of the squad and the games, and it won't be the first time that's happened.
If they're wanting to do something, they should be taking fit players who've been playing week in, week out in the league.
I get that. And my argument will be for that is that in tournament games, you need your big players.
Possibly.
Who are used to them kind of pressure.
Possibly.
Pressure situation.
Possibly.
Is you know, he knows his way around. He's got things in his back pocket. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he should start. I'm saying that, for me, it'd have been on that plane. You know what I mean? Knowing that, you know, bearing in mind there's going to be injuries, there's going to be sickness and all them something. Players aren't going to perform, you know,
And I think he's better in than out for me.
Again, what you're saying is, if he's there, he can be called on.
Yes, oh. you know what I mean? And there's been fit and there's been match fit. And that's another argument within itself too. Yep. You know what I mean? Now, you're not asking a Palmer to play 90 minutes. I mean, the games, there's no games at 90 minutes in this day and age that over that. You know what I mean? But you're looking to build him up a little 10, a little 15, a little 20s. You know what I mean? And I think, it'd have a seat for me. I get it with Foden. I want to tuck him. For me, it would have been one or the other. Do you know what I mean? So I'd have gone for Palmer. So I'm cool with Phil Foden. Well, I mean, again, you would see him at close quarters and know whether he's been performing or not.
Foden was performing in November.
Okay.
Right? He was putting on a show in November. After that, he's done nothing.
He's actually done nothing. Has he been coming on the sub? And then in the late two games,
the last two games, yes, he showed a little bit of something there, right? But we're looking at consistency, and there's not been enough consistency from Foden. So for me, no. He needs to stay a yard. Right. No, seriously, you need to stay a yard, right, with theme loved ones, right, and just relax.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because people might be saying, oh, he's only saying that. That's, you know, if people out there listening, he's only saying that because he's a City. I am saying that as well, mm-hmm. because I don't want him to get injured for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather him stay at home than, you know, he's fully fit for when the season starts again. So there's also that behind it as well.
Yeah.
For me.
You know, I mean, I hear that, and I've got to kind of like respect that, you know. I think one of my biggest surprises of a player not being on that bus or that player is Morgan Gibbs-White. I think that's...
Then again,
that's massive. That.
Then again, yeah, right.
You know,
and I can see where you're going with that.
Yeah,
right. And again, if people are saying, "Well, he's taking Henderson," which for me, I do not understand why they're taking him.
But other people
would say, "I know why they're taking him, because he's a captain, he's a leader, he's been there." He understands it when they're under pressure, right? How to lead the lads. I agree with all that you've said. But for me, I don't see what he's going to do.
Henderson.
Yeah, I don't see what he's going to do.
Yeah, I think he's probably one of the most probably relieved and surprised players in that squad, if he's honest. And one day he might just come out and say, I didn't really expect to go. I mean, he's hardly been pulling up trees for... Is it Brentford in play for? I don't think he's...
He does. He just played for Brentford.
I don't think he's been really... He's not been starting or anything like that. He came on the other week
when we played them, and he come on.
Mm.
I mean, I didn't see nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see nothing. But people say he's there because... He knows how to captain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. And Tuchel's been kind of like quite vocal to say, basically, you can hear him talk through what he's saying about it's not really the showboaters and the flair players, really. This is kind of like them players what, you know, you can rely on. You know, when... He knows that, say, Henderson might be in his bedroom at a certain time and have question mark about certain
other
players.
So what you're saying, he's going to be disciplined?
Yeah.
You're saying?
Yeah.
He's going to be disciplined.
And that
discipline, he can use it to to, how can I put it?
To galvanise the squad.
Yeah.
To keep certain man in check.
Yeah.
You
know what
I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Gestapo.
Yeah. I hear that.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, for me, yeah, like I said, the biggest surprise for me is Gibbs White. Margan. He's not there. I mean, he's bust 18 goals in all competitions, 15 in the Prem. Which is the toughest in the world of football, and then three in UEFA. So, Gibbs White, yeah, very very surprised. I would attack a Gibbs White, and if somebody said, well, who would you left out then? You know what I mean? If Gibbs, well, the obvious one is Jordan. I wouldn't even give him a phone call and say sorry. Mm. You know what I mean? He just wouldn't be there for me. You know?
I've also got a bit of thing there because I don't like him.
You don't like Mr. Henderson? Henderson.
No, see. He need, as I said, he need to stop a yard and go help them out with the Henderson's relish. You know what I mean? That's what he need to do.
You know?
Because I don't like him at all. Yeah. Especially when he played for Liverpool, I didn't like him. But again, it's not about whether you like the person or not. It's what about how efficient and what he brings to the team.
Yeah, and he's experienced. Do you know what I mean? He's an old head. You know what I mean? You're talking 36. He's probably one of the oldest guys going on that bus. You know what I mean? Veteran, you know? Coming like a war veteran. Anyway, Trent Alexander, I heard he's not been doing it for his in domestic. Probably not settling there, not settling well. Could be all kinds of reason. I think Trent will be kind of disappointed in one aspect. And again, I think that is another player who could have well been on that squad. And again, for 1 minute, I'm not saying that I would have started him. But to have in your ranks somebody like him, you know what I mean? You know? And that's a concern out there for them ex-pro. And that, if you know, if you hear him talking about who's on the bus and who's not on the bus, you know what I mean? And they kind of, some of them say, well, yeah, he hasn't been really doing it for domestic. And like I said, I keep saying about football, you can have look it from so many different angles, you know. You can say, well, Henderson's not a regular man, he's not a 90-minute man, you know what I mean? So why not? But yeah, I get it, you know. Some of these players that aren't on the bus are not pulling up trees and stuff. Or in their domestic league, you know, but yeah, Gibbs White, I think, is one of them exceptional talents, you know. And when he was at the lane, he was just a class above the rest. So what he's done in the game now, from being at the lane, and he's quite vocal on that. He's saying that the lane kind of make him realise that he have to work hard and all that kind of something. And I think it's good to pay a little bit of homage to the boys down there, you know. So they're kind of like, some kind of players that scratch him head. John Stones. Now what about that one? Johnny Stones.
Right. Johnny Stones. Yeah, John Stones has probably played 2 or 3 games for us this season.
Wow.
Right. Probably. Right.
2 or 3.
2 or 3 games.
What start? Like you mean start and play the full game?
Because John Stones, and I like John Stones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. And when John Stones is on, when he's ready, he's ready.
Mm.
You understand? When he's ready, he's ready. When he's on par, he's on par. He's a dangerous defender. Not only that, he's a defender.
Mm-hmm.
You can put him in a midfield and he can do a job.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we put him in midfield when we played in the Champions League final. And he was man of the match, right?
Mm-hmm.
But whether he justifies a place in this England squad, I would say no, because he hasn't done enough. He hasn't played enough. But again, Tuchel thinks about what he was like before and the performances that he's put in before. So I think that is what's got him on that plane.
I mean, it's his third World Cup campaign for Stones. And his, I kind of like the player as well. And, you know, like I say, you can pinch a little bit what you said earlier on about not really seeing enough of that player, not really done enough this season, you know, not really being on it. So what gives him the right to jump in there? But like Tuchel said, it's not really just looking at the flair player then, you know what I mean? He's looking at the people who we can manage. It's about management, isn't it?
Who contributes?
Yeah.
Who's there? As Pep would say, who's there?
Mm-hmm.
Who's there? Who gives it this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what Pep says.
For people who are listening, obviously you wouldn't have been able to see that CV. I just like him have the badge upon him chest.
Yeah, well, I have.
You know? So it might rag it up and down.
See the badge, yeah?
Yeah. Well, people can't see it.
The Manchester City badge, by the way. Not so much England, the Manchester City badge.
So, Mr. Stones, again, it's another one what will baffle certain people. And obviously, them top pundits will say, wait, you played 2 or 3 games, but yet you go World Cup.
And the thing is,
you know what I mean?
The thing is, and no disrespect to John, right? He's injury prone. He's injury prone. What if he gets injured?
In fact, obviously, I don't think, you know, he'd be starting in that defence. So the thing is now, is if like Gay or Konza or them man they get injured, then they're expecting Stones to step up.
Yeah.
And you're thinking he's not even there. You know, we spoke about fitness and match fitness. Totally two different things.
This is going to sound... This is definitely going to sound... Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe he got it the wrong way around. It should have possibly been Jan staying at home and Mr. Maguire going with it, because he's putting more performances for United.
I would actually agree with that one.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, Maguire is not the quickest about.
He's not, but John's not.
Yeah, but Maguire, like I said, he's putting more shift this season.
Yes.
And rather than Stones or that big kind of Dan Byrne, you know.
Who's Dan Burns now? Newcastle.
The Newcastle man. The long stand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have chose Maguire instead of Dan Byrne. Because if this guy gets half a chance, he might just burn one, you know, and it could catch him. It could catch him out, you know. Langers for the set piece. Them Langers. You know, the aerial.
Yeah, I've seen him play against us twice.
Yeah,
this season.
I'd have definitely gone for Maguire instead of Big Dan. Sorry, Dan, you're not in my thinking.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Daddy Longleg.
Okay.
You know, the Daddy Longleg man. You know, again, you know, we've mentioned Mr. Henderson, who doesn't even play for Brentford. But you know, it's like Tuchel is like, from what Southgate were building with the youth, it's like, say, input a axe or a sledgehammer to it, and just said, sure, I'm the manager now, I'm going to do it my way, you know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, and I don't business, you give me the job. So let me do it.
Let me get down with it.
Yeah, let me do it.
All right, okay.
You know, yeah, rotate, you know, and delete. So, I mean, the group, I've been looking at this, the group that England in, and I think they're going to have some bad aeration in there, me.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, you've got Croatia. You know,
we've got a couple. Yeah, I mean, yeah, if he was still, don't know if he still plays now, Luka Modric. Modric played for Croatia. And then you've got two from my team play for them. Because you've got Kovacic. Right?
Croatian.
Yeah. And then you've got Jesko.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, he plays in the back with the beard.
Right, okay. Yeah, yeah. I'll have to look at that. But I don't think, and the way I'm not really, you know, maybe not the best really to start these kind of conversations really, because I'm not really a fan of the way they play.
Okay.
And that might be a little hindrance.
Okay.
You know, now if they took the Premier League stance of quick play and,
okay,
you know, then yeah, because they've got the players, individual players, for cause some bad aeration out there. But I think that they're lucky it's two going through from group. You know what I mean?
And
I think they're lucky in that.
What they say, and the thing is, they're looking at that group L, right? And basically they're saying that the two what should go through should be England and Croatia.
Right.
Right? But you like yourself, you don't know. Ghana, them African countries now, it's not the Ghana from back in these a lot of their players are playing at a high standard.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you might be right.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know too much about it. Is it Panama?
Panama, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know too much about them. Yeah.
Could be a surprise package.
But definitely Ghana. You can't take them for granted and say it's a walkover. No.
I mean, some people, the hardcore fandom are going to think, oh, that some of them games are going to be free hits. But I tell you what, you know, they might get a little surprise. You know, they might get a little surprise. But I just think that they're lucky. Say, a tool. What they go through. So, like I said, the top two teams of the each section will go through, and the eight best third place teams from groups will progress to the round of 32. And then we get like some knockout football, innit? You know what I mean? After that, you know what I mean? I'm looking forward to the World Cup, me. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
I might watch some of it, but I'm not all that bothered, really.
Yeah, yeah.
I might watch some of it, but I'm not. I've got to be honest with you. I'm not that bothered.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
I just hope that
obviously when Brazil play,
well, then you have to show up. Yeah, you have to show up. And you know what? I'll be interested when France play as well.
Yeah, France. And Spain.
Yeah, and that's right. And that's Spain. Right. Yeah, yeah. I'll be interested with.
And to a degree as well, I don't mind the Argentines and Portugal as well.
Okay.
You know, they shift the ball.
Yeah.
Fairly good. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I like them as well, but they always seem to drop off. Belgium.
Yeah. Definitely. Some good kind of teams in there, you know? Mm-hmm. 1858, just like to say, you know, for the people them listening to this show, like I said, don't bother share it out, don't share the link, you know what I mean, just keep it to yourself, you know, keep it for wit, you know.
I just want to say a quick thing. What would what's your score prediction for tomorrow with the greatest team to ever win the Premier League? Arsenal and PSG. What you saying tomorrow? What you saying? Because obviously they're the greatest team to ever win the Premier League, aren't they? Arsenal. So.
I think Arsenal are going to do it.
You think they'll do it?
I think they'll do it.
Okay, yeah, that's fair enough.
I don't know about a score. I think it'll be tight.
Okay.
I don't think it'll be one of them kind of crazy games, you know, four or five or something like that. You know what I mean? Open and that. Arteta won't want that. You know what I mean? The open game.
Okay.
You know? But I think they'll nick it.
Okay.
Because both teams to score goals, yeah. But I think they'll nick it. you know.
All right. Well, I'm not going to give no prediction, me.
Why not?
Nah, because I think most people know what I want, so.
Come off of that bias ass. You know, the ass name bias, innit? You know?
No.
If
no.
If you was a jockey and a